Okay, thank you guys. Thanks to everybody who read, and welcome to those that have joined us since we first started. We hope you hear our message tonight that I'll encourage you to keep coming back. Welcome to any visitors and newcomers to the meeting this evening. And it gives me real delight to actually say that we do have a speaker this evening. This is a person who's kind of turned up in our meetings a little while back and become an active member of our group. It's been a real pleasure to be of service with her over that time, and she's celebrating a particularly special day today. So without further ado, I'm going to ask Anna, would you please share with us for 45 minutes or as long as you're comfortable with? Thank you.
Hi, Anna, and I'm an addict.
Hi, Anna.
Hello, Anna.
Hi, everyone. It was last minute invitation, so I'm really nervous about it. But yeah, today, 22nd of February 1991 is my clean date. That means I celebrate today 29 years clean. And yeah, and what I can say is, wow. It's so great, so big. I feel so grateful and so blessed that it seems, it feels like it's not me. It can't be possible, but it is. I look back, I always look back in around this time of year. And I remember back when I started using and when I got clean, the person that I was. And it seems like it is a true miracle. Never dreamed it was possible. I started using, I was about 15. It was like for the first time in my life, I found everything fitted into place. I felt like the person that I wanted to be, doing what I wanted to do, and being in the place that I wanted to be. And there was, you know, and I thought it was great. It was a great thing, you know, in the disease is really powerful. And and I thought I had found my destiny. No, in the beginning there are no big damages about using drugs, but that only comes later. And and so I lived years in using drugs and running away from the consequences, cutting my eyes to whatever was going on around me. It was an easy escape. And it was a place where I could, in my delusion, be who I was and be what I wanted to be and do what I wanted to do. And there was a big illusion. But still, it was better than what I had. And most of all, I believed that there was something wrong with me, that I was not like other people. So that's what I was destined to be. I couldn't be anything more or different than what I was and do what I did, what I was doing, I mean, in using. So, and it was a time in, at least in my country, there was a time there was a lot of drugs going on. Nobody knew what to do with us addicts. A lot of my generation, people my age was using drugs. Almost everybody was using drugs. In open, out in the streets, in plain sight. You know, most people didn't know what drugs were or how it was done, or they wouldn't recognize it. I mean, and those when it became too obvious, my using became too obvious because I was always, I mean, my family was not dysfunctional or anything. No, they were and they are nice, respectable, adoptive members of It took them a long time to realize there was something wrong with me or my behavior. I was a good student. I didn't miss classes. I had good grades. So that covered up my using for a long time. And when they find out, I think, I don't know if, because I started using after my mother died. And my mother was the family support. She took care of us, me and my brother and family, that was her role in family. And when she died, it was me, my brother, my grandfather, and my father. And they didn't know how to raise children. And we have other family, but they had their own families and they didn't know what to do much. They did their best. Yeah, they did. Never, not even when I was using, did I blame my family for my using. It was not. Thing is, when I started to go wild and my using got really bad and obvious, too obvious, they didn't know what to do with me. I mean, nobody knew what to do with those addicts then. The general idea was to send us away to a place where we could be kind of a community center away, like in another town or another country, and keep us there locked up so that we wouldn't use. and I was lucky. I was lucky because that didn't work. I mean, it worked if you stay there forever. If not, and many, many, many of us ran away, and it was not a nice place. There was no recovery there. You just stayed out of drugs. There's no recovery in those places. And but then that was what it existed at back then. And I was blessed, even then. My higher power got me to the only doctor in the country that knew about 12-step programs and believed in NA. NA had started for 3 years, 4 years in the country. There were meetings only in Lisbon. And that doctor was probably, he was the only one in the country that believed in NA. And that's when they looked for help. Was some way to help me, to get me treated or cured. They got me to that doctor, and that doctor said that I needed to go to NA meetings, and he handed me a sheet of paper with a meeting list, and he sent me there. And and I did. And it was I went there. I went to SCORE because I didn't do anything without doing drugs first. So I went to SCORE, and then I took the tram and went to at the place. And I went in and I looked, and I didn't see anybody. So I walked out, went to a coffee shop across the street, and was like, what am I going to do? I was so bad at asking for help that it didn't even cross my mind to ask somebody. I mean, I was so ashamed, so embarrassed. I mean, wait, I'm going to ask someone where the meeting is. People might find out I use drugs. I was looking out at the street, and I saw three guys going into that church. So I thought, they're probably going to the meeting. So I went after them, and I found the meeting. And I don't remember much. All I remember was that I walked out of the meeting. As soon as they end up, and before they held hands and to pray, to say their serenity prayer, I was out the door, and out in the street. I ran away. But I ran away because, I don't know, because the emotions were so strong. Now, I didn't want people to talk to me because I was using, and also because I was feeling so good, so with such hope, you know, and happy. For the first time in many years, I found hope, you know, and I thought to myself that if I'm ever gonna stop using, it's gonna be here. This is the place for me. And it was the same feeling that I had when I first used drugs. This is right for me. This is the right thing for me. And I felt it again when I found NA. Same thing. This is right, the right thing for me. This is it, basically. Yeah. And it's been ever since, more than 29 years later. It still is the right thing for me. And, well, the rest is the process. You know, I stopped using drugs and coming to meetings. It was really hard because I didn't have anybody clean in my town. I mean, addicts, there was no one clean in my town. And I had to travel to another town to go to meetings. I mean, my family was just, you know, their idea was just to send me away as far as possible because take me away from these drugs and using people I hang out with and all that. And yeah, I end up 29 years ago, I checked in a rehab center in England, and I stayed clean ever since. And I remember that on the first day, my first day clean was guy there. He was an alcoholic. He said, you know, that I was a very sick lady, but I was there to get better and that I would recognize the truth when I hear it. And then it was my choice of what I was going to do about it. And I didn't understand what he said at the time, but later I did. And and that truth that I heard sharing, that identification that I got, that's what broke the denial and made me see the reality of who I was, of my drug using, my drug use, and what was happening in my life. You know? Then the choice was mine, and I chose to stay clean. I chose to stay in recovery. Didn't believe. It took me 1 year at least to believe that I could stay clean and that I could stay in recovery. Then basically that first year waiting, not doing anything, just waiting, you know, for relapse to happen. I didn't want to use. I didn't want to relapse, but I'm not good enough. I'm not doing enough. I'm not honest enough. I can't share at meetings. I don't have a sponsor. I don't there. So I'm not gonna stay clean. And then I celebrated 1 year and I was like, wow, 1 year I made it. Oh, maybe I can do this. And I did. Time proved me wrong. And then it's been a magical, beautiful journey, which I am so grateful. I never thought life could be as great and as amazing and as beautiful as it is. Or about my adjectives. You know, I'm not English. And, you know, I was blessed with the possibility of being part of NA growing in my country, of opening the first meeting in my hometown, of helping myself and helping NA and other addicts to recover, doing a lot of service, you know, and growing at the same time. I grew up in NA as a human being. I was 24. I was 24 years when I got clean. So I was basically a teenager. Well, mentally, emotionally, I was less than that. But yeah, I was young. I was 24 years. I grew up as a human being, as a woman, as a recovering addict, you know, as a daughter, as member of my family, member of this society. Mm. And it's been, yeah, I am very blessed. It's not that you have to have a certain age or a certain rock bottom or whatever to for the program to work, but it is a blessing when you when one can get clean at an early age. Saves a lot of damages. Yeah, and I've worked the program to the best of my abilities. Now, there was, I was like just like any other addict. I didn't listen. I thought I knew best. I wanted to do things my way. Self-will was my major character defect and my major problem. And it's been all through my recovery. Now it takes me, been taking me a long time to build up faith and trust enough in my higher power to let go of my self-will. I always think I can manage on my own, and I don't. I want to be do my own decisions and tell myself that yeah, I'm gonna do this, because if something goes wrong, if it goes wrong, I'll pay the consequences and I'll be okay with that. And that's not true. I've done some bad decisions. I paid the consequences, or when the consequences came, I didn't wanna pay, so I would manipulate things and justify myself to run away from consequences. And but I did stay clean, and I did work the program the best I could. You know, I did go to meetings. I never stopped going to meetings. I always did service. I always had sponsees. I always stayed connected to the fellowship. I had a sponsor. I had sponsors in the beginning of my recovery. Then my last before this one sponsor. You know, she moved to another country, and there was not stay in touch, and I was looking for another sponsor. But by then, I thought I could control things and I could manage my own life, so I didn't work very hard. And lately, and then after, you know, I felt I needed a sponsor. I felt alone. And the disease and the burden of living was heavy. And I could see that I needed help. But I looked, and I couldn't find anyone that I would feel it could help me. It could be a sponsor for me. But sponsorship is important. I stayed clean, and I stayed in a program, and I worked principles with sponsors, with friends, you know, always close to people. But to have someone that is there to help me, that I can, I listen, I respect, I look up to, that has what I want, and he's more experienced than me. That's another thing. And I couldn't find it in my country. And I thought bad about it. And I thought I couldn't understand why my higher power wouldn't give me such an important tool for my recovery. I mean, higher power is supposed to provide you with what we need for our recovery, right? And I did honestly look for a sponsor, but you know, it was a lot of years without a sponsor. And when I started doing online meetings, that was on the back of my mind. Maybe there's a lot of women in your online meetings and women with clean time, so maybe I can find a sponsor here. And I did find a sponsor after 1 year doing online meetings, I think. Yeah, and she was my sponsor for about almost 1 year. And it was great. It was, you know, it set me back on track of how I've been running on self-will for too long, so it was difficult for me to focus and to share and to listen and to be willing to follow suggestions, you know. That's because it takes practice, and I was out of practice of asking for help, of talking about myself, of being honest with my feelings. And it was great. It was a big help that me to change. I mean, get back into practicing being a sponsee and stop being a sponsor, because that's what I was used to do. And then about a month ago, I got another sponsor, and it's been beyond my wildest dreams too. You know, I don't trust people very easily. I mean, I trust, but not entirely. I'm still too, I find it difficult to be vulnerable to, maybe it's just my disease telling me that I'm not doing it well enough. But anyway, I'm willing, I have the willingness, I have the desire to trust, the desire to work a sponsorship relationship, but it's not easy to me. Find someone that I can really connect. And this person I connected from the first day. You know, it's like, yeah, like I've known her all my life. And that's a great feeling, you know. Very, very precious. And it's been when I started doing online meetings, my recovery start growing again. It's as if I've been stopped, and my recovery has been starting again. I've grown and I've learned so much with your shares here in these online meetings. There's a lot of recovery here, and it's not a kind of recovery that's not available to me in the meetings that I go to. And that's been like getting clean again, almost like getting into recovery again. You know, and I'm very grateful, and that's why I keep coming back, and that's why I'm stay here and try to be of service as much as I can. And I got lost. And I was talking about because the program is about practicing, about living it. And I've learned about the program. I read literature. I've tried to academically understanding and mentally understanding the program and memorizing all the preambles and all the readings and all the cliches and all the words. No, and I still tend to do that. But the program works for me from practicing every day, from when things come up, when it's time, when it's the moment that I decide, what am I going to do? Am I going to scream at that person and resent her and bang the door and, you know, and be self-righteous? Or am I going to be tolerant and patient and be kind to that person? Or am I going to be honest and tell the truth and take responsibility for my actions? Or am I going to manipulate and try to control situations so that I can get away with? And that's when I practice my program. That's when I get up in the morning, or when I don't feel like doing the right thing and I just want to run away from whatever situation, whatever feelings I'm going through. And I pray to my higher power for the strength and for to stay and to go through whatever I want I have to go through and apply the program. That's when I practice the program, and I've done that. And over the years, I've developed, I mean, I've kind of replaced my old sick behavior for new recovery behavior. And a lot of these things, a lot of this, the way I live today is it has become a habit, a routine. I don't think about being responsible or not. I mean, I'm responsible. Don't think about being trustworthy or respecting others, treating others with respect or be on time or, you know, do what I need to do and ask for help and share and try to be honest and humble and all that. It comes more naturally as I practice it. It's just to say that it gets easier. It gets easier. And my ability of listening to others, of looking at myself without being afraid of what am I going to find, because I felt that for a long time that if I look too close at myself, like doing the first step or inventory, I would find out that I was a terrible person and that is and a fake. And that's not true. And I've overcome that fear too. I can look at myself. I can accept that I'm not perfect. I'm not going to be perfect. My character defects, my fails. Or when I fail, when I don't behave doesn't take away anything. Just part of me. Just you know, part of being human, being in recovery. You know, it's like it's about progression, not perfection. And I don't need to be perfect to feel secure or feel sure of my recovery or of myself. You're not going to stop liking me or liking me less because I have character defects or because sometimes I'm in a bad mood and I scream at people and I have no patience or anything. And the relief, the freedom, the acceptance that I get when I practice it, it's precious too. And today I can look myself in the mirror, be proud of myself, talk to my higher power. I talk to my higher power like I talk to a friend. I would talk to any of you, you know, just sharing with my higher power and asking for help and thanking for the person that I am today. Because I wouldn't be here without my higher power. You can't, that I learned too, you can't stay long enough, clean for long enough, for many years, without life happening and without having moments, times, where there is only you and your higher power. There were many times, you know, there was just me and my higher power, and if it wasn't for my higher power, I couldn't even reach out to someone or get myself into a meeting or do something to get out of that bad space that I was in. Because we are fellowship, we are there for each other, I don't feel alone because NA and other recovering addicts exist, but 24 hours, 7 days a week, only my higher power is with me. Or, yeah, this is true for me. So that's important for me, to trust and believe my higher power and keep a close contact with him and trust that he knows best and that whatever happens, I'll have my higher power and I'll have an A too. Higher power always gives me what I need. And I feel I'm rambling on. I don't know what else to say. I think I am a very grateful and a very blessed recovering addict in these meetings. And I thank you very much because I felt welcomed here from the first meeting I came to. And I thought my English was bad and I was feeling so insecure and so awkward sharing in another language and struggling to find the right words. And Jim saying, oh, your English is fine, it's better than my Portuguese. And you've always been so encouraging. You know? And I felt like you were so focused and so well in recovery, and I didn't have a sponsor, I didn't speak English, I didn't share as well as you do, which had to do with the fact that I'm not English, so it's obviously you express yourself better than me, and all that, you know. I compared myself a lot, but you know, I kept coming back, you know, and it was worth it. You know, all I've done for my recovery, it's been worth it. So I'm gonna shut up, and I'll thank you very much for being here. You're my home group, and you're part of my recovery, and I'm very grateful. Thank you.
Thank you, Anna.
Thanks, Anna, and a huge congrats on your 29 years, and that was a great share. You kind of had me right at the very beginning when you talked about comparing the rightness that you felt when you picked up and then feeling it again when you found, or when NA found you, and that was my experience too, you know. And, the two things were so completely opposed, it was strange that they should feel kind of very much the same, you know. And I really liked what you shared about the fact that, you know, that we're ready when we're ready for recovery, if we make it. And speaking for this addict, I'm incredibly grateful that, you know, that NA was here for me when I was ready. And it was there for me whether I was ready or not, really, but I needed to be ready, and that took me longer than some. You know, I used to feel a way about that sometimes, about the wasted years, but then I've looked at that, and like you said, you know, I'm aware of who I am today, and I needed to be in the place that I needed to be in for this message to reach me, and it was never going to reach me any other way, you know. So I'm incredibly grateful to Narcotics Anonymous for being patient enough and available enough for it to be there when I needed it. And that's been my experience. And I like what you shared about practicing the principles, practicing the program on a daily basis. I do the same thing. I don't always get it right, but I do my best and try not to be the person I was, you know, just to be the person I can be, and that's what the program's shown me, you know, that there is an alternative. I don't have to be the asshole that I was. I can be a better person today. And all I need to do is practice the principles and do my best on a daily basis. So, fantastic share. It's been fun. It's been really nice to have you in our meetings. And I'm just, proud of you. Thank you. And with that, guys, I'm going to open the floor for sharing soon. The floor is free, the meeting is yours. Please share with us. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Steve.
Thanks, Steve.
My name is Alfredo Yamanathic.
Hi, Alfred.
Hi, Alfred.
Somebody has to break the beginning of shedding time silence anyway, and I am that kind of telling person. I don't know, thank you very much, first of all, and I thank you very much for being so fantastically open and we can be vulnerable with all of us anyway. It's, well, after 29 years you had practice, I suppose. Anyway, I am not near there by any stretch of the imagination. But I have a particular experience in recovery anyway. And certainly I can share with you that I find the meetings online especially more deeply in recovery. I don't know why. I thought, I thought that it was good for me because from a physical point of view, seeing my image or me knowing that all the people were going to see my image was going to make me to present myself in a particular way. And because I am a sex addict and I always obtain sex from the point of view of how I was looking, although now I am not in there anymore, I am still with that frame of mind of presenting myself the best I can so other people could be feeling happy of being in my presence, if you know what I mean. So, from that point of view, originally I thought the online meetings, the internet meetings were very good. I have always a blue tag in front of the camera. I managed to save money enough to buy me an Apple Macintosh, and I have a blue tag in front of the camera, so nobody can see me, nor even the spying government anyway. That I believe they can do it through the screen, not the list, but anyway, I am happy with that anyway. And but then I find out that, like you, the label, the strength, the depth of recovery that I was getting in coming to these meetings, it was with, I never had it with the face-to-face meetings. They were good, don't take me wrong, but these are much better. I am being challenged quite a lot, not because other people challenge me, but because I hear them talking about how they do things for themselves. I feel challenged, like pressurized to, maybe I need to do my recovery in the way that they do it. Maybe I need to explore from a recovery point of view an angle that I was not seeing before. So, all in all, the level of recovery that I am getting through this kind of meetings is much, much better than what I ever got in the face-to-face meetings anyway. Another point that you were talking was about language. Well, my dear, that was my excuse for stopping going to meetings, and I ended up after a few years anyway, but I ended up in a huge relapse. Anyway, so I would not advise anybody to do it. Anyway, what is important about the meetings again this company now is not so much you saying things, but you hearing yourself studying things as a way of for you to understand is if I am putting everything that I have in my mind in a bottle, I need to empty the bottle so I can refill it again. And then another, with more readings and other people talking, I have more things to talk about regarding where I am in recovery. And that is incredibly good for me as well. So, just talk. Don't bother about your English is good or is not good. My English is good, but the way I talk is not good. So the end result is that voice in my mind that probably like in yours was telling me, oh no, I did not good enough, and I was shutting up. Well, no. Quite the opposite, much better to talk anyway. Then my surname, well, we don't use surnames here in the meetings, but my surname chosen by myself is Walking Tree, and that means human being. And why? Because a human being is a tree that can walk. Because a human being can establish the roots wherever they go. They are not like trees that they are planted in one way, in one place, and they stay planted in the place forever. They move about and they can put there. And that, I did like it, a kind of poetic view of a human being, and I chose that for my surname. And that means that I do three different fellowships. I do like all the meetings I do, but none of them I can say is my home group. I don't think I will ever have a home group. I don't want to belong anywhere. I don't want to be part of a particular box. I want to be free, totally free. And now I move to one side and then to the other. Then I might feel like going up. Then I might feel like going down. That is me. That is how I express myself. Regarding sponsorship, well, I got plenty of time in my hands. I don't have much to do. But regarding sponsorship, going back in the history of AA, because it was before NA, sponsorship started because the very heavy, the very bottom, rock bottom alcoholics needed to go into a hospital to recover. That hospital, because it was in the States, it was a charity hospital, but it would only admit somebody if they had somebody who could give faith for them that they were trying to recover. Anyway, and that is how sponsorship started. Sponsors was the one who was giving the faith to the hospital that the person was there for a pure recovery, legitimate reason. That is how sponsorship started. I say this because I don't go into wanting to have a sponsor, and I do not want to have an sponsor idea. And that is the reason why. I think all the people I meet in the meetings are my sponsor, and they are at the same time. I just want to say that is the intimate relationship I keep with all of you in my mind, in my soul, in my spirit. To me, it's all one thing. It's both the spirit, mind, and the spirit, emotion, and faith to recovery. Before, I was doing the distinction between mind, body, and spirit. Now it's all one. There is no division whatsoever. It's just part of the recovery process I've been going through. And I am realizing that I've been talking a lot. Anyway, it was lovely to hear you. Just keep talking. Don't stop talking. It's beautiful hearing you, even if you think you have a broken English. Doesn't matter the language you talk. What is important is what is behind the words that you say. So keep talking. Don't stop for the many talking. And thank you very much. Thank you.
Thanks, Alfie.